So it's Hebrews 5, and it's verse 8 that has that striking statement. Verse 8 says, "Son though he was," that's Jesus, "son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered." He learned obedience. Now, one famous preacher once said, "There is no watertight argument for the Christian faith. But there's something better. There is a watertight person." And I think that's a very insightful statement. You know, with most religions, the founder is revered, but the big thing is really what the founder said. It's the teaching that's the big thing. You know, what are the rules? What are the insights? That's what really matters. But Christianity is different. Christ didn't come to teach us about salvation. He doesn't come with a set of rules that if we follow them will mean that we are saved. He doesn't teach us about salvation. He is himself our salvation. So he didn't come to show us how to be righteous. He came to be our righteousness for us. He didn't show us how to make atonement for our sins. He came to be our atonement and to pay for our sins. He didn't show us how to rise from the dead. He is our resurrection. And so at the center of the Christian faith is Christ himself. And not just at the center, it's all about him. Well, today what I want to do then is to just focus completely, really, and totally on him. And so that's why we turn to the book of Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the theme of the book of Hebrews. I mean, there's a sense in which he's the theme of every book and of the whole Bible. I'm not denying that. But the book of Hebrews has a particular focus on Christ himself. And in these verses, say starting at verse 7, through to verse 9, there's a tremendous statement about the life that he lived and his unique and wonderful life. And in the center of that, in verse 8, there is this amazing statement. It says that Jesus learned obedience. Now, what do you make of that? I think that's quite a, well, I want to say two things about it. First of all, it's a puzzling statement. But then also, secondly, it's a powerful statement. So what I want to do this morning is to wrestle with the puzzle, solve the puzzle, and then experience, I hope, I pray, the payoff that comes with that. Feel the power of understanding the puzzle. You know, wherever there's a difficult bit in the Bible, it's always worth really drilling down into it. Because those difficult bits, those are the bits that we maybe haven't understood yet. Those are the bits where if we could grasp them, well, there would be a fresh explosion maybe of life and of help and of grace. And this feels like one of those difficult bits. It's puzzling. How did Jesus learn obedience? So that's what we'll do. First of all, let's puzzle over the puzzle. And then let's talk about how powerful it is when you understand it. Okay, so start, first of all, with the puzzle. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm on about when I say it's puzzling. It says that Jesus had to learn obedience. Now, that's strange, because at the center of the Christian faith is the fact that Jesus was perfectly obedient, that he was sinless. And it seems strange then that we're being told here that he had to learn obedience. And it says in the verse that he was a son. Son though he was, it says, he learned obedience. And if we had read chapter 1, we'd know what is meant by him being a son. It means he was the Son of God. So the book starts In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And then he tells us a bit about this Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Then he says, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful words. Now, one of the things that verse does, or those verses do, is identify Jesus with God himself. Now, we know God is sinless. God is perfect. So is this verse somehow contradicting that? Is it saying that, no, Jesus had to learn what it was to be obedient? Well, what's it talking about? And then verse 9, it says that there came a point when Jesus was made perfect. Now again, the same problem arises. We thought he already was perfect, don't we? We thought he already was sinless. How could he be made perfect? What's going on here? You see the puzzle that I'm raising. How can it be true that Jesus is God and therefore perfect and righteous and holy and all the things we believe about him, and yet also that he had to learn obedience? That's the puzzle. Now, what's the solution? Well, the solution is to understand exactly what the writer is saying when he says he learned obedience. Now, this is only a puzzle if we assume that learning obedience means from going from disobedience to obedience. So a naughty child starts off naughty, and they do have a talent for that, don't they? Yeah. Thank you, Reese. They start naughty, and they have to be taught how to behave. Now, that's what we're thinking about. So that's why this has given us a problem, isn't it? Because we think, well, to learn obedience means you start disobedient and you become obedient. But that's not what's being said here. What's being talked about here is an obedience that was there but untried, being tried, and becoming an obedience that is there in practice. So the journey that's being described is not from disobedience to obedience. It's from sort of obedience in theory to obedience in practice. That's the journey. So Jesus was always sinless. He was always obedient. But when he came into the world, he was sinless. He was pleasing to the Father. But that obedience was as yet unproven, wasn't it? And what happens as he grows is that in every new situation and in every new moment of every new day, his obedience to the Father is being put to the test, just like yours and ours is, isn't it? Day by day, we meet a new situation and we are being put to the test. How are we going to behave? How are we going to respond? Are we going to honor God? Are we going to obey God's law, God's word? Are we going to seek to please him? Now, what this verse is saying is that Jesus went through the same process. So he was always sinless, but it's one thing to be sinless as a child and another thing to be sinless as a teenager. Because there's a whole new set of challenges when you're a teenager. And it's another thing to be sinless when you're an apprentice carpenter. And someone's teaching you how to do something and you're having to learn how to do it. And it's another thing to be sinless when you're a working carpenter and you're dealing with difficult people and awkward customers and jobs that don't go right. And what this verse is saying is that as Jesus grew and as his obedience was put to the test, he learned what it was to be obedient in every new situation. So when Jesus is growing up and he's a boy and he's under the authority of his parents and he's got school friends and brothers and sisters and all the sort of challenges that that brings, Jesus learned what it was to honor the Father. And he succeeded, it means, in honoring the Father in that new situation. Now, do you see what he's saying? And when it says in verse 9, that he was made perfect. Again, that word perfect is not being used in the way we use the word. The word perfect, it really means in that situation, complete. That would be a better translation. He was made complete. And so the idea is that he lived this human life and he learned obedience in every new situation, in every new circumstance. He was tested day by day. He passed the test every single day until he finally got to the end of his life. And at that point, his obedience that he'd been learning and been tested and he'd been proving year after year after year, it was finally complete. And he had lived his life. And in every challenge, in every new situation, in every new context, he had fulfilled all righteousness. So that word "made perfect" means that he had reached the fulfillment of his mission, and he'd reached the fulfillment of his life, and he had fulfilled all righteousness. He had been obedient in every possible situation, in every single relationship, every single moment of every single day, in every single aspect of his being. His thoughts, his words, his reactions, his actions. That's what it means. Now, I think that's quite an important thing to grasp. We can sometimes feel that because Jesus was God, it was easy for him. Like a superhero, he had a power that we just don't have. And he could draw on that power to get himself out of trouble. So he had his deity like a sort of get out of jail free card. And so when he faced challenges, it was easy for him because he was God. And I think that's a mistake to think like that. And I think this verse is teaching us that it's a mistake, because when God became flesh, when the Word became flesh, part of that becoming flesh, yes, he didn't cease to be what he was. He didn't stop being God in any way. But in becoming flesh, he was submitting not just to our humanity, but to life in this fallen world. And so he was submitting to live by the same rules that we have to live. So he's going to have to live by faith. He's going to have to live by prayer. He's going to have to live by the Word. He's going to have to live in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And so he's not floating through life, 6 foot above contradiction, able to slip through every single challenge and difficulty with ease. No, he's the same as you, and he's the same as me. And he faced what you face with the same limitations that you and I face them with, and only with the same resources that you and I face it with. He comes with a real humanity. Yes, he is God, but that glory is veiled, and it's that humanity that is shaping his experience during his life on earth. So the obedience of his human life was just like our obedience. It had to be hammered out in the real world. It had to be learned. Isn't that amazing? So where are you in life? Some of us are children, most of them out in the Sunday school. Being a child is difficult, it's challenging. You don't understand everything, and the things you do understand, your parents are saying you don't understand them properly, and they're telling you no, and you want to be grown up, and you want to do things that other people are doing. Being a child is challenging, and Jesus knew those challenges. Being somebody's brother is challenging, or sister is challenging. The relationships, the rivalry, the insults and the hurts that can happen, the little niggles that can bubble away in the background, that's challenging. That's challenging. Jesus knew that too. He was a brother. Being a teenager is challenging. All the physical changes, all the social changes, all the other awkward teenagers you're hanging around with all the time, all the conflicts that are there, all the insecurities that are there. Jesus experienced the same thing. And you think then of the work life that you have or had or still do have or aspire to, whatever it may be. That's challenging as well. Not getting work, worrying about work, worrying about whether you'll get work, not having the sort of work you like, wishing you had different work, having difficult people in work, having an awkward boss in work, having a difficult colleague in work. You know, Jesus, he knew what that was like. He lived through that. Difficult customers, being single. Often that's a struggle for people, and there's great issues that are raised by that. Jesus understood that. He was single. He knew about that. And, you know, we could go on, the different experiences that he had. Being a public figure when he began his ministry and the explosion of fame and all the troubles and difficulties that brought, he understood that. Are you being forsaken by people? He understood that. His disciples forsook him and fled. Are you being misrepresented by someone? Jesus experienced that. They lied about him. They called false witnesses to tell stories about him in public, and people believed them. Do you feel rejected? Well, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He understands rejection. You see, whatever you have been, whatever you are experiencing, he's been there. And all the different spheres of life. You know, he spent 40 days in the wilderness. He knows what the wilderness feels like. You know what the wilderness feels like? He knows what the upper room feels like with impending doom a few hours away. And in all of these situations, he did the right thing. He said the right thing. He thought the right thing. He felt the right thing. Every new situation, every new context, at the physical level, at a psychological level, at a relational level,